Yeah. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 71. Our text verse is going to be in Psalm 71. And we're going to read verses 13 to 15. Many believe that this psalm was written by David, and there are a lot of reasons for that as we go through it, but I'm going to read 13 to 15. And of course, you know, the message is titled More Praise, and you'll see why in a moment. Verse 13, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. So what we're looking at here, if this truly was written by David, many of the things that I read show that this was likely at the later part of his reign as king, and likely at the time when Absalom, his son, was looking to depose him and take over the throne. And if you think about that, David will have been a man who was getting up in years. And when you think of how we are, obviously as I look up around the room here, we have some folks that, you know, we're getting up in years. And, you know, when you go through your daily activity, whatever that might be, by the time you get to the end of the day, you're probably pretty exhausted. And you hit the bed and you're just praising the Lord that you have a nice soft bed to lay in and get some restful sleep, if it's at all possible. For some of us, it's not too restful. But then you kind of wake up in the morning and your day starts again, but you know the joints are stiff, the muscles are achy, and it takes a little while to get moving, right? That's kind of how I'm picturing David at this point in time in his life. And what's happened is David is forced to be on the run because his son wants to take the throne, and David doesn't want to kill or bring hurt to his son. So David's resolution is that I'm just going to leave Jerusalem, and he flees. So I think of how, you know, if you've ever like slept on the ground outside, you know, it's nice when you're young. I mean, you get to look at the stars and you wake up and everything's great, right? But when you get old, every little ripple in the ground just really goes through your back, you know, and you wake up and you're like, oh man, that wasn't very nice, you know? And I picture David in this situation now, you know, he's on the run. He's got some close family members. He's got those that have been his protectors who are with him. But he's got no house. He's just, you know, fleeing from his son, going wherever he can so that his son doesn't find him and try to kill him. This is kind of the situation that I look at, and then I see that David says that he will yet praise thee more and more. And, you know, you look at that and you say, my goodness, you know, what a heart for the Lord, right? You look, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're feeling achy and things are tight and you're trying to get loose, and is your first thought, you know, praise God, I'm able to stand and get out of bed. Praise God, I have breath that I can take. Praise God, I have another day of His grace. Generally not. It's probably, oh man, I can't wait for these things to loosen up so I can get going. I got a million things to do today, right? This is where our mind goes. But that's not the mind of David. And I think the thing is that as we look at what's happening here, it kind of gives us an understanding. You know, David knew the Lord at a young age. And David always, well, let's just say in most cases, David was a man that relied upon God. He was a praying man. He went to the Lord often in prayer. And he's a great example of a Christian who is growing in his maturity with God. His relationship with God is like when he talks to his soldiers, it's like when he talks to God. It's like God is standing right there in front of him, and he talks to him just like that. And that's how it should be with us, folks. We should be talking to God like he's right there in the room, because you know what? He is right there in the room. So David avails himself of prayer all the time. And because of his level of maturity, he doesn't let these things that are happening in his life take him down. So, you know, when you think about the fact, I mean, he was a shepherd that God said, I want you to be the king of my nation. And God raised him up to be that king. So he went from having nothing but sheep surrounding him out in the field to sitting on the throne of the mightiest nation in the known world at that time. And yet, you know how it goes, right? As more responsibility comes into your life, you get more problems, right? There's more headaches. So as David went from just having to take care of sheep, he's now taking care of the whole nation, all the things that are going on in his nation. And, you know, you would think that you could just easily say, you know, why does this have to happen to me, right? Oh, woe is me, right? I mean, we love to do that, right? We are having so many problems, you know, and, you know, why can't somebody else have some of these problems, right? But that's not the idea. He doesn't focus on those things. He focuses on the fact that he's going to continually praise God. And that's really a great thing. So hopefully, you know, as we go through this, we're going to start to look at this in our own hearts, right? How are we doing in our maturity with God, right? Am I at the point where I can be like David, where I can say, I know whatever happened, but praise God, it wasn't worse. Praise God, nobody died. Praise God, I'm still able to walk and breathe and do the things that I can do to serve him, right? Those are the things that we need to look at. And don't let your life on this earth, this carnal life, be the thing that takes your eyes off of your eternal destiny. So, all right, as we go through this, I want to look at these three verses. Verse 13 to start with. David says, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. So I tend to look at a number of commentaries to see what people think of these verses. And the overwhelming viewpoint is that they think that he's saying that those people that are trying to come and kill him, Lord, take care of them for me. And one of those people is his son. And I just said, you know, when if you read through 2 Samuel, which gives the history of what's going on here, you'll see that David makes a decree for the people that they will not kill Absalom. So, you know, he desires, as a father does always, to protect his son. And it's his will that would be what would happen. But, you know, when you read this verse and it says, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul, I don't see that he's talking about his son. He can't be talking about his son. He loves his son. But you know what? Absalom doesn't have the ability to destroy David's soul. Who has the ability to destroy David's soul? Satan, if you let him, right? So when you look over in the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. He gives them this warning in verse 28. He says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but fear rather him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Well, like you said, he's speaking of Satan. He's speaking of the evil one. He's speaking of the evil forces that Satan brings to bear in our lives. So he's saying, don't worry about the things that are happening in your life. Worry about those things that will detract you, deter you, take you away from God. Because God is the only one that can save your soul. So if you allow yourself to be sidetracked and begin to doubt whether God is able, then you put yourself in harm's way. So I believe that, it is clear that it's not specifically speaking of Absalom. He loves him too much. Now, there may be a point where it speaks of those that are working for Absalom who might be coming after him, but they don't have the ability to destroy his soul. So, all right. Now, David, as I said, he was a young boy working out in the field originally, and was given information that, God had called him to be the next king, the king after Saul. Saul, who started off as a godly king and then began to rely too much upon himself and then turned away from God, and God said, your kingdom was going to be taken away from you and be given to another. And that other is David. And in this situation, when you look at David's life, you have to wonder, how does someone go from being a shepherd to becoming king of a nation? Well, it can, we understand. Scripture says God raises up kings and God tears down kings, right? God raises up nations, God tears down nations. So it has to be by decree of God that this is going to happen. Actually, it was clear that it was by decree of God, because God told Samuel to go and find this person, and he goes to the house of Jesse, and Jesse has seven sons, and Jesse brings all of his sons from the oldest down, and Samuel's like, nope, none of these are the ones that God called. And he's like, do you have any more? And he says, yeah, I have one son who's out in the field tending the sheep. And he brings him in, and that's the one that Samuel is told by God is the one who's going to be the king. So, God always, always, always works with those who are the least, and he raises them up to be the greatest. Folks, we were the least. We were sinners. We were destined for hell. And God said, you know what? I'm going to make you higher than the angels in heaven. Folks, it can't get greater than that. The only thing greater than that is God. So, it's an amazing thing. Imagine how God is working in your life. He's working the same way in David's life that he's working in your life. He takes David as a shepherd and he makes him a king. I'm not saying you're going to be a king, but you know what? You are a child of the king, and you are a member of the body of Christ. So you are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God. You are heirs with him. So God is taking you and me, lowly human people, and saying, you're going to be something amazing for God. And, it doesn't mean ultimately just when you get to heaven. You can be amazing for God even now. And that's the whole idea. David didn't say, hey, I'm a shepherd, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. It'll be great. No, God made him king. He began to rule over the people. He could set the tone for the nation on the direction that the nation was going to go. So you see how it works. When we had our opening scripture, and we were talking about, the king that wanted to kill the Jews. Now we're talking about, that's an earthly king that wanted to kill the Jews because he didn't know God. But now we're talking about a king that knows God, and he wants to direct his people to walk with the Lord. It's a really amazing situation. Now, consider why, is so much scripture devoted to David. See, we have Old Testament scripture talking about David, and we've got New Testament scripture talking about David, and you've got all these Psalms that were written by David. Well, why? You know, why is it so special about David? Well, you know what? He's there because he's an example. Everything that God puts in his word is for our benefit. It's for us to be able to learn from. And in some cases, it's gonna lift us up and it's going to carry us forward in the midst of our trials. And in other cases, it's going to tear us down because we're getting too prideful, too self-consumed. And he says, no, I'm going to get rid of that stuff. That stuff's not good for you. But David, when we look at David, was David perfect? No. But David was a man who wanted to serve the Lord often in his life, most times, I guess I should say, in his life. So when we see David saying that he, when I was reading here in chapter 13, let them be confounded and consumed, the adversaries of my soul, let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Who is David trusting in? He's trusting in the Lord. Why would he trust in the Lord? Because he has seen how God has been operating in his life. Have you seen God operating in your life? I mean, from the point that, I guess, let me just put it this way. I got saved, my eyes got opened, I saw a lot of things happening now, right? The Holy Spirit revealed them to me. But you know what? I can look back to the time before I was saved, and now, because of what the Lord is doing, I know he was even involved in my life even before I was saved. David's looking at his life the same way. David says, hey, I was a shepherd. And Samuel came to me and said, God said, you're going to be king. Well, did he become king right away? No. He had to go through a lot of testing, a lot of trials, a lot of things before he got to that point. Why? Because God said, you're not ready to be king yet. There are things that you need to learn before you can be king. He had to be tried, tested. He needed to be purified, as it would be. And God said, I'm going to do that for you. And did David say, okay, I'm done with this. This is enough. No. David took every trial that God put in front of him, and David continued to praise God. He continued to pray to God. He continued to seek God for direction in his life. So David is a great example for us. David was pursued by Saul. Did Saul ever catch him? No. Years upon years upon years. And Saul never was able to bring David to hurt. God provided food for David and his men. For the years that David was in exile, that he was running away from Saul. You know, can you imagine? You have no place to live, but you're living off the land, as it would be. God always provided food and raiment and shelter for David and his men, even as the numbers grew. So David always had enough for his men to still be able to eat and be able to serve the Lord. Then God brings David to the point where he's now king. And God says, I need you to go out and subdue these nations around Israel. And God says, but don't worry, I will go before you. And David trusts him. So David goes to war with all of these nations. And what happens? He defeats them. So he trusts that what God tells him to do, that God is going to enable him to do, and that God will do it. So, you know, those are the things that you look at, and then you say, well, how is it that David can get to this point in his life where he's old and he's still saying, I'm going to praise God more and more? See, it's not just I'm going to praise him, but I'm going to praise him more. And I'm going to praise him more and more each day. So as time goes on, you know, he makes the statement, and, you know, we're going to talk about that. Well, I better not go that far. All right. So what is it that allows David to be able to do that? One, he's seen how God has been operating in his life. If you've been saved for any number of years, you've probably seen God's hand in many things that have been going on in your life. So you say, well, how do I accomplish praising God more and more. The idea is, how do I mature in the Lord more and more so that I will want to praise him? Well, the easy answer is, you don't allow the things of life to hinder your ability to praise him, right? I mean, that's simple. Simple to say, hard to do. But see, that's the thing. As David looks back on his life and he sees the things that have been happening, he sees God has always been there. God has always been active. We have seen people whose lives have been changed by God. People that who are angry people, who now are, I don't want to say the most timid, but they're people who have joy and peace now in their life. People who were people who stole, people who did things that were definitely wrong, have now completely changed their lives, and now they're serving God. These are things that we see. People that we've been praying for who have been sick, that the Lord heals, and we're able to come before him and praise him. Anita is a good example of one of those people, right? So we see these things, and, you know, those are not coincidences, folks. People, you know, people have changed their lives who have done things wrong for a while. But then what happens? They fall back into what their life used to be, right? When God gets a hold of your heart, he changes you from the inside out. So it's not look at this person who's standing before you in a tie and a dress shirt. That's nothing. God's changing the inside to the outside. So when you hopefully look at a Christian, you say, hey, there's something different about that person, right? And it's because what you see coming out of them is the Lord. So he's living in them. And he says, I'm going to be with you. When you get into circumstances of life, he's the one who comes out of you. If you allow him to come out of you, if you don't squash, quench the Spirit of God, then the Spirit is the thing that comes out. And that's what people see. It's a phenomenal thing that God does in our lives. Now, all right, so we were talking about how do I praise him more and more and not let the things of life hinder me, right? So again, we'll look at the words of Christ. I should have had you stay there, but in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Verses 19 to 21. Jesus, I mean, if you say, okay, I have red letter Bible, so I see these are Christ's words, right? Jesus says, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what is it that causes us to not want to look to the things of God and do the things that bring praise and honor unto him? It's the things that this world is throwing at us, right? So he says, lay not up treasures on the earth that the moth doth corrupt. He's because, you know, people get so caught up in, well, I need a new car. I need a bigger house. I need, better quality food. I need more clothes. I need to have my hair done every week. Now, sorry, Lily, I know that's a killer. But, people... They get caught up in themselves, and they start to not think about God. And that's going to be a destruction to ourselves spiritually. So we have to grow spiritually in order to put our focus on him. We can come to church, and we can praise him in songs, and that's wonderful. We can talk to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we can speak about the Lord, and that's wonderful. But you know what? If we don't continually pray, read his word, and continue to do those things, then our spirit begins to weaken, and we're no longer praising him more and more. What we're doing is we're finding excuses now of why I can't go to church on Sunday, and why I can't really call that brother or sister in the Lord because I don't have time. Why I'm not going to be able to join in that fellowship because I'm starting this new business, or I'm now being told to do this instead, right? Because it'll help to further my career, right? So people, they turn the world upside down, and they put God at the bottom, and they put the world at the top. And that becomes problematic. You have to have the right priority in life. If our priority is always God first, then we will praise him more and more because we're going to give him the time that allows us to further our relationship with him. As our relationship with him grows, we're going to always want to praise him more and more. When we think of the songs that were sung today, and the testimonies, what is it that overcomes everything? It's love, right? The love of God towards us helps us overcome everything that happens in our lives. And the love that our parents have for us helps us to overcome that. The love that our brothers and our sisters have towards us helps us to overcome those things. See, love conquers all. And when we love God so much that our love continues to grow with him, then all these other things become second nature. They become second hand. They're not all that important anymore. God is now what's important, and we begin to praise him more and more. We don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to just make a couple more points here. What else hinders us from being able to continue to grow in our walk with God? Well, this may sound odd, but when we start to compare ourselves with others, and especially in the Christian church, right? So we say, I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm doing the food ministry. I'm doing an evangelistic ministry. I'm doing the music ministry. I'm doing whatever, right? I'm involved in all these things. And look at that other person. They never even offer to help. And then what happens is we become angry. We become bitter. Because of that, we resent things that are happening. And then what do? We pull back. We say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. If they're not going to do that, why should I do that, right? We can't start judging ourselves based on others. When we do that, what we do is, you don't know. God says, I am going to give a measure of talent to each of you to do whatever you're going to do. You don't know what the talent is that God gave to another person in the church. maybe they can't stand in Sunday school for an hour and try to teach a lesson. Maybe they have a problem that they don't want to be calling people on the phone because they don't feel that they can speak well and be able to handle the issues that person is going through. But you know what? Those are not their gifts. Maybe their gift is to just pray for somebody. Maybe their gift is to make some food and drop it off for somebody who's going through a problem. You don't necessarily know that. You don't have to know that. God doesn't say, hey, I want you to put a plaque up of all the gifts that I have given you so that people know what you're supposed to be doing. No. So you just have to do what God says you're supposed to do, and don't worry about everybody else. David, when we started with him, we said David had all kinds of problems. He became king. He had family issues. He had the issues of the nation. He had health issues, and all kinds of things were happening in his life, and yet David continues to praise God. Well, easily he could have said, no, I'm going to stop. I don't need to be king anymore. Let somebody else be king, right? But that didn't happen. He said, God said, I want you to be king. So you know what? When God says, I want you to do this, what do? You do it. I mean, it's that simple. You just do it. And at some point, when David got to be too old that he could no longer fulfill the role of a king, what did he do? He said, now is the time for me to step down, and he anoints his son, Solomon, to be king. See, there's a point where we won't be able to serve God like we used to be able to serve God. Maybe, you know, as I clear my throat, as we are in the music ministry, you know, praise God, you know, I don't know how long you ladies have been singing, but, you know, there's a point where we get older and our voices aren't carrying the same tune they used to carry, right? And you reach that point and you say, I don't think my screeching is honoring unto God, so I'm going to step down and I'll let somebody else come on. But you see, God is preparing other people to now come and fulfill that role, just like he was preparing David to be king. We have to trust that God knows what he's doing. When God says, I got to close this door for you, he opens a different door. If you can't sing in the ministry, maybe you can do other things for the ministry. You can maybe you can provide, notes and keys and things changes that are going on in the hymnals. You don't have to write. Maybe you can play an instrument. You don't have to sing. The door that he closes, like there'll be a day when I won't be able to preach anymore. I don't know when that day is, but God knows when that day is. God's going to bring somebody into this church that will be able to fulfill that role. I fully trust that he's going to do that. So we have to be able to trust him. We have to be able to know that he's preparing people for these things and not worry about, you know, the fact that, you know, well, this is, you know, so-and-so who was, you know, doing this for the church, but now they're not really able to fulfill it anymore. They know they're not able to fulfill that. God makes it clear to them. He'll take care of it. Don't worry about what other people are doing. All right, I want to quickly just go to the last verse because it's important. He says, my mouth, and back in Psalm 71, sorry, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Well, this was pretty simple. What he's saying is, every day that God gives me, I am going to speak of his righteousness and his salvation. Well, it's that simple, folks. He says, I don't know how much time I have. As I said, David was getting older. So he says, in the time that I have left, I will continue to praise him. I will continue to speak of him. I will continue to tell others of who he is. And this is the, I always have a Spurgeon quote, right? So here's my Spurgeon quote, and we're going to close with this. Like I said, it's a time for reflection for ourselves. How are we doing in our walk with God? Am I coming to the point where I'm maturing with God? If I look at myself today from where I was a year ago, am I better than where I was a year ago with my walk with God, my relationship with God? If we honestly look at ourselves, then we need to say, am I doing okay or am I not doing okay? If you're not doing okay, fix it. If you're doing okay, praise the Lord. He's working in your life and things are going well. Now, Spurgeon had this quote. He says, but Christians, the last word shall be to you. Are you praising God more and more? If you are not, I am afraid of one thing. That is that you are probably praising him less and less. It is a certain truth that if we do not go forward in the Christian life, we go backward. You cannot stand still. There is a drift one way or the other. A drift either to go forward or a drift to go back. It's the whether you're going upstream or downstream, right? There's a flow that's happening. You're either going upstream or you're going back, right? Now he that praises God less than he did and goes on to praise him less tomorrow and less the next day and so on, what will he get to and what is he? That's how he leaves it. So that's where we're going to leave it today. So, you know, consider the words that were spoken today. Are we going to praise God more and more with the days that we have left, that we don't know how many more days that is? Or are we just going to even go through the motions or do less than we used to be able to do? That is something we all have to think about. All right, we're going to close in prayer.